Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in once again to the program. My name is JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast and is on your very favorite network for truth and, current information, alternative news and information, the one and only Truth Frequency Radio. We can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com, and I would highly recommend you do that because we are live right now. You can hop into the chat room. There are new listeners in there all the time, plus a bunch of familiar faces. Can't thank you guys enough for being in there this morning. Today is the 14th day of April. That officially makes it a Tuesday, or day two of the crisis, the hostage crisis. And those of you guys out there living in a cubicle right now probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Gotta tell you, I'm really excited about today's show. One of my very favorite people. I say that every day, but it's funny how often, when these guests start coming onto the program regularly, that they become my favorite people in the world. This is part of my learning process too. I hope you guys are taking something away from all of the guests and all the information that we're presenting you guys with, because, that's kind of the name of the game here at Red Pill Reports. We try and bring you guys the best news from around the globe, keep you guys up to date on what's actually going on, you know, from around the globe and also in your neck of the woods. And then also we have in the second hour always an amazing guest, always bringing you guys the best information that we can, usually up to date stuff on all kinds of topics. And today, as I said, one of my very favorite people, Doreen Hannes, is going to be joining us in the second hour. She is a voluntary advocate. She's somebody who really, really focuses on self-sustainability, specifically in your ability to raise animals. And so she's an animal lover like myself. I really like Doreen. She's just a great person to chat with. And she's got some pretty interesting information to bring you guys today, talking about the consolidation of biometric tagging and things like that, not just in animals, but in people as well, kind of how we're moving forward into this dystopian. It's part of the whole Obamacare dystopian future that we're a part of. I'm so excited to be a part of it all, ladies and gentlemen. I can't tell you how much. Go team. All right. But anyway, Doreen Hannes is going to be joining us in the second hour. Very excited to have her along for the ride. Always one of my very favorite people to speak with. Tomorrow, Jim Ram is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about natural health. We're also going to be talking quite a bit about longevity, which I think everybody needs to get involved with. There's two affiliate programs out there that I think if you guys are people like myself, you know, I spend about 10 hours a day trying to get this radio show together and still can't seem to always get it done. But it's difficult for me to go out and get a real job, quote unquote. Plus, I have this aversion to wearing a name tag and handling my own PP. So again, probably not going to be going out looking for a job like that, which leaves me the option of working from home and helping other people get healthy and helping other people get prepared financially. So those two affiliate programs that I'm part of, Carrot Bars and Longevity, are both really, really something you guys ought to look into. I mean, honestly, if you guys are stay-home people like myself, or if you have some sort of an aversion to working for other people, these are opportunities that you just cannot miss. And, you know, longevity will take care of your health aspects, get you guys healthy, get you guys in the know so you can help other people in your community become more healthy, especially these days, because nobody is going to take you by the hand other than here at redpillreports.com when we've got Jim Ram on, or we've got Pharmacist Ben on, or when we've got Dr. Tenpenny. So other than us taking you by the hand and helping you figure out exactly what's going on in the world of health, it kind of can be difficult to get that information. So everybody's got to become self-empowered information resources and go out and talk about this stuff with your neighbors, because again, if things go bad, those are going to be your backup plans to have good neighbors. Eric in the chat room right now talking about Beyond Tangy Tangerine. I agree, man. That stuff changed my life. I'm so excited. I get my next shipment tomorrow. I've been actually out for a little while, so I'm really excited. Also, the carrot bars thing, both of these Links are at the top of redpillreports.com. And if you guys want to find out more about Youngevity too, you can definitely email the contact tab at redpillreports.com, and we'll put you in touch with a couple of guys that know a lot more about it than I do. But definitely do that. And also check out Karabar's new website is up. They've finally bought their own gold mine, and also they've got their auto save up. So if you're somebody who wants to get involved with an offshore gold savings account, you don't even have to have it delivered to you. I personally, I like taking physical possession of my gold. But this is a way, I mean, I don't know any other company out there that you can sign up for with your credit card and just say, hey, every week or so, buy me a gram of gold. And then every time I get four saved up, send them to me. You know, that's awesome. That's way better than trying to go out and source out an ounce of gold someplace and dropping, I don't know what's an ounce of gold, probably $1,200 today. But you can do it a gram at a time. And then you also have these nice Karabars inside of laminated cards. You can pass them around. I'm telling you, once you show that to your friends, it will blow their minds, because it's going to be the first time they've ever actually held money, real money, in their hands. And it is remarkable, ladies and gentlemen. So again, without those two affiliate programs, we wouldn't be here. We would not be here. So I would highly recommend you guys go check that stuff out. And Jim Ram is going to be on the show tomorrow and talking a little bit more about some of the benefits of the products that Youngevity has. Also, Deborah Tavares will be joining us on Thursday. And I have some notes from last time. Give me 2 seconds here, and I'll tell you exactly what we're going to be talking about. We are going to be talking about probably additions to the food supply in a GMO-type sense, scary-type stuff there, the biomedical implants and how it relates to Morgellons, and also the MK ultralization of our school system. So obviously Deborah Tavares is very, very well-educated, very well-documented, probably one of the most well-documented resources that we have here available to us at Red Pill Report. So very excited to have her on Thursday's show. And then Savan Bowman III is going to be here on Friday. You guys are going to love this. Check out his website. Just do it right now. I'll wait. astralquest.com. We're talking about self-empowerment. We're going kind of the opposite end of the spectrum of where we've been with some of our other guests who think that things like doing yoga and meditation is detrimental to your health. I'm not in that camp. I do like to have the forum so people can have an opportunity to express themselves, and everybody has an opportunity to have the same information, make their own decisions. That's kind of the name of the game here. But personally, for me, I highly recommend doing some meditation every now and again. And, you know, call yoga whatever you want to, but I've got a torn sciatic nerve, or a messed up sciatic nerve. If I don't stretch, I don't care what you want to call it. You can call it poses to the spaghetti monster. I don't really give a crap. But to be honest, if I didn't do it, I couldn't do anything. So, that's, you know, if it's Satan that's given me my power and my backpack, hey, you know, maybe I got to change my affiliation. I don't know. I'm a big fan of bending over, tying my shoes, stuff like that. So take that for whatever you guys will. Okay, that's what I got for guests for the lineup for the rest of the week. Next week will be equally big. Appreciate you guys being here right now. 15 people in the chat room and some new people in there. Winter is coming. Brand new person in the chat room. I usually don't do the shout outs because it just gets obscene because we get so many people in there. But appreciate you guys being in there. Appreciate all the support you guys are showing the show and the website, redpillreports.com, and also the support that you guys are showing to the network so we can continue to be at the top of the pile in terms of alternative news and information. Okay, that's my morning ramble. Appreciate you guys being here with me. Let's jump into the news from the global turmoil front. How about that? How about we start right there? Let's talk about Yemen a little bit because it's in the news, obviously. It was reported yesterday, and this is coming out of the international shipping news. So this is news that specifically goes to people who care about things like the BDI index, Truth, talking to people like you, I suppose. But it was reported yesterday that navigation in Yemen's territorial waters has now been banned, and ships are not allowed into Yemen unless inspected and approved by the Saudi-led coalition forces. This ban started yesterday after the Yemen's Ministry of Foreign Affairs delegated to the coalition forces that it implement this territorial ban in the waters there. So in a statement signed by the foreign minister, Riyad Yassin, he issued this on Saturday, but the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said Yemen has now banned entry into the territorial waters and has authorized coalition countries to implement the decision, adding that the ban has been imposed on the country's maritime zones. So there you go, a maritime ban surrounding Yemen right now. Can you see the walls starting to tighten on Yemen? Here's another story that came out of Yemen. We talked a little bit yesterday about the potential that the Yemeni-Saudi conflict had kind of blown over the Saudi border and onto Saudi territory. There wasn't a lot of indication coming out of Saudi Arabia that that had actually taken place. So I went and did some digging in some Yemen news, And this one I had to actually translate out of Arabic, so you'll have to pardon me if I don't, if these sentences don't make perfect sense. But allegedly, apparently, close sources to the Al-Houthi militant group, there was, again, an incursion into Saudi Arabia over the weekend. They did use mortar shells and they attacked a forward front on the Saudi side. Why is this important? Well, the sources are saying that one of the Saudi princes actually died during these clashes. This was Saudi Prince Fahd bin Turki Al-Aziz. So, again, one of the Saudi princes, he is part of – I'm trying to get this guy. Sorry, guys, because, again, this is translated. And so basically what they do when they translate is they take all the words that would normally make sense if you put them in a row, and they put them all in a different order, and then you have to kind of muddle your way through it. But apparently this gentleman was the deputy commander of ground forces and also the commander of paratrooper units and also the special commander for the special forces. He was Major General Prince Fahd bin Turki bin Abdul Aziz. Yes, that all of that was his name. And he was apparently in the area doing an advanced inspection visit on the sites in the Saudi-Yemeni border, specifically in the Magda village. This is the village that apparently was attacked again by the Houthi fighters, the Houthi militant group inside of Yemen there. So, again, haven't got any indication from Saudi Arabia that this actually happened, but that's the second indication that we've got from sources close to the Houthis, that they did, in fact, do some sort of mortar attack against Saudi Arabia on their own soil. So, still moving forward with war in Yemen. All right. Also, in more global turmoil news, Russia has actually paved the way yesterday for a missile systems delivery to Iran and started an oil-for-goods swap. This is signaling that Moscow may have a head start in the race to benefit from an eventual lifting of sanctions on Tehran. This move comes after these world powers we've been talking about, including Russia, reached this interim deal with Iran this month on curbing Tehran's nuclear program. So the Kremlin said that President Vladimir Putin signed this decree Monday, ending a self-imposed ban on delivering the S-300 anti-missile rocket systems to Iran, this removing a major irritant between the two after Moscow canceled a corresponding contract back in 2010 under pressure from the United States. So a senior government official said separately that Russia has already started supplying grain, equipment, and construction materials to Iran in exchange for crude oil under a barter deal. And sources also told Reuters more than a year ago that a deal worth up to $20 billion was being discussed and would involve Russia buying up to 500,000 barrels of Iranian oil every day. Officials from the two countries have issued contradictory statements since then on whether the deal has been assigned, but Deputy Foreign Minister Rybakov said on Monday that one was already being implemented. So again, Russia in a very good position now to benefit when the sanctions are released from Iran, and they're kind of hedging their bets right now. And also, they're planning on providing some pretty extensive ground-to-air missile systems for Iran. Obviously, this is part of the entire we're going to protect you guys from Israel motif. Obviously, Israel responded pretty sharply to the lifting of this ban, according to the Intelligence and International Relations Minister there from Israel. He said that this is a direct result of the legitimacy that Iran is receiving from the nuclear deal that is being prepared, and proof that the Iranian economic growth, which follows the lifting of the sanctions, will be exploited for arming itself and not for the welfare of the Iranian people. I don't know if you could really say that right now, because yes, on one hand, they are in fact buying weapons, but remember the fact that Iran is pretty much the only country in the region there that doesn't actually have any weapons, and also, in the previous article, we talked about the fact that they're trading oil for goods right now. They need goods. They need to, I mean, these sanctions are crippling their country right now. They are doing everything they can to get grain and building construction materials and things like that into the country. So it doesn't appear to me that I don't agree with what this, this guy from Israel is saying, because obviously, yeah, they need to defend themselves, with Israel sitting over in the corner saying, the fact that, you know, they're trying to get nuclear weapons is almost assured. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And you've got idiots in the American side, like Tom Cotton, saying, you know, the fact that Iran is in control of Tehran shows that they are rampaging through the region. Just as a reminder for new listeners, Tehran's actually the capital of Iran, which does really signify just how stupid Tom Cotton is. But again, these guys are trying to essentially go to war with Iran as soon as humanly possible, at the behest of Israel, in my opinion. Israel and the United States, again, both not signing the anti-nuclear proliferation. I can't say that word. You guys know what I mean. Israel is not part of that accord. And it's also been disclosed recently that Israel does, in fact, have at least 200 nuclear weapons. So why should we limit Iran's ability to get them also? It doesn't make any sense to me. If they're going to be a deterrent because of mutual assured destruction, you've got to be able to assure mutual destruction. Anyway, while we're on the subject of Israel right now, there's been a new report that has come out that says less than 27% of the $3.5 billion that Gaza received as reconstruction aid has been dispersed, actually. So less than a third of the $3.5 billion that people and entities and countries have pledged to rebuild Gaza after the Israeli Operation Protective Edge last year, only about a third of that, not really even a third of that, has actually been distributed now. So the Association of International Development Agencies stated in this report that while comprehensive data on individual pledges and disbursement has not yet been made publicly available, the World Bank found that only 26.8%, about $1 billion, of the funding earmarked for Gaza has been dispersed so far. Again, according to this report, international donors have been very hesitant to pay out their reconstruction pledges without progress towards the reestablishment of the Palestinian Authority. So the paradox here that we're seeing is that the lack of reconstruction is exacerbating the potential for more conflict. So by refraining from actually releasing the funds due to the fear of political instability in Gaza, donors are actually entrenching divides and heightening instability in the region. So meanwhile, the cost of relief, recovery, and reconstruction in Gaza in the aftermath of OPE, or Operation Protective Edge, has been estimated at about $4 billion, according to the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. And while there have been repairs made to some damaged buildings, almost no large-scale reconstruction projects have been started to date, and no permanent housing has been rebuilt, according to this report. So the people in Gaza still absolutely living in hell, as far as I'm concerned. I can't imagine anybody would support what's going on in Gaza right now. All you really need to do is go check out Anna Balzer. She did a great, I think it was called A Jewish Girl in Palestine or something like that, but she went and actually visited some of the occupied territory. I almost can't watch the videos. I saw a video this last week of Israel and some of the territory right in between the two territories, and it was basically this Israeli woman who was exceptionally happy that she'd been given a home, and the people and the soldiers there in Israel had actually built a cage, literally a cage, around the Palestinian side of the neighborhood. And this video kind of just digressed into this woman screaming at this other woman, trying to attempt to keep her in her cage while they were spitting back and forth on each other. And it was disgusting. I've never seen anything more racist and disgusting ever in my entire life. And it's just very disheartening to see what actually happened there. And a lot of people don't know because they pay attention to the news and they pay attention to Mr. Netanyahu coming over here and ramping up the rhetoric. And it's just awful. Anyway, okay, just while we're on the subject of global turmoil here, Russia's brand new Ka-52 attack helicopters are set to enter service soon. I won't go into the details about these particular attack helicopters, but they are pretty awesome, I gotta say, and not something I'd want to see on a battlefield, but Russia picking up the speed with militarization also. Also, the so-called Normandy 4 group of foreign ministers, these are people from France, Germany, Russia, and the Ukraine, they actually met yesterday in Berlin to review the Minsk ceasefire agreement, which has generally been holding up, and the four gathered to assess the progress in the context of the peace deal, which was brokered in the Belarusian capital on the February 12th. The ceasefire agreement included, obviously, the pullback of heavy weaponry from the front line by both sides in the conflict and the establishment of a security zone separating them. So the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe has been monitoring the implementation of the ceasefire with its special mission stationed in eastern Ukraine. And on Sunday, the OSCE monitors reported renewed fighting, which in an area located close to the front line. And the mission also said that it heard tank rounds fired from a government-controlled territory. It also added that the mission monitors in Mariupol heard intermittent to heavy mortar fire in the area and also saw flashes indicative of fire from that area. So we're not out of the woods yet in the Ukraine. Again, I'm really concerned that these people, this global initiative, is really all they're going to do is they're going to pull all the weapons out, basically try and get all the foreign people out of their soil, and then they're immediately going to put the UN peacekeepers in there and start moving Ukraine towards NATO recognition. So I don't know necessarily if that's a good thing. I certainly don't think it is for the people of the Ukraine, but that's what's going on there right now. I'm going to hop over to Paris right now. We've talked about Paris being hit by all of these drone attacks recently. Well, not really drone attacks, but just drones that are kind of meandering around the city. Obviously a big, big no-no in France right now. But right now there is a French firm, which is called ECA, and they are building an anti-drone drone that can hunt down drones and apparently identify their pilots. So once a rogue drone has been spotted in the sky, the customized EC-180 will chase it down and triangulate the position of the pilot, and the craft will then find the shadowy human, take their mugshots, and alert nearby police as to their location in the hope of catching them in the act. Unfortunately, and for perfectly understandable reasons, the ECA won't expand on how its gear can achieve this feat of airborne counter-espionage, and the company's certainly piling on the hype right now, saying that its new technology makes it impossible for malicious operators to disappear, and apparently it has also been tested twice by French authorities who were quote-unquote fully satisfied that the unit could find and locate pilots within a radius of 700 meters in less than a minute. So if you're out there flying a drone in Paris right now, plan on getting caught in less than a minute, apparently, right now. I don't know. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition or not. Funny that they're fighting drones with drones there in Paris, though. A little irony for the day. Also, figureheads in Malaysia, Australia, and China are getting ready to meet later this week, the 16th of April, which is Thursday, to be specific. They're going to go ahead and review all of their information regarding this missing Malaysian airline flight M370. They have so far spent more than 90 million pounds searching the southern Indian Ocean, led by the Joint Agency Coordination Center and Australian Transport Safety Bureau. They're scheduled to be finished with this investigation by May, and so far have revealed no trace, not one, of the missing Boeing 777, of course. A lot of people in the chat room, like myself, a lot of listeners here, probably think that that plane was electronically hijacked and taken over to some, I don't know, clandestine military base that the United States owned. Not pointing any fingers, but I think that's probably what happened at this point, because they have not yet found a thing. Not a thing, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's move into some national news right now. We touched on the ISIS story the other day for military servicemen, people like that. ISIS has basically come out and said that there's going to be another massive attack against They're a great band, by the way. Another massive attack against military personnel. So the military command in charge of protecting the U.S. homeland recently this week sent out a message to troops warning them to hide their family information from terrorist groups that are trying to frighten them. So this memo came out warning military people against using military slang in public and decorating a home in military items, to also change your social media accounts to try and hide the fact that you're essentially in the military. So again, people a little bit afraid right now that ISIS is going to find out where these people live, who they are, things like that. So if you're in the military, just kind of more of the fear, keeping the fear up. I don't know if it's true or not. Let's talk a little bit about this. A former military aide to three different presidential administrations is under federal investigation by the FBI right now for allegedly defrauding foreign investors out of nearly $16 million while promising to expedite their acquisition of U.S. green cards. Instead of seeing their investments go towards job-producing projects, a hotel project in New Orleans in this case, the investors were left without green cards while the development project languished. So according to a report by ABC News filed just yesterday, the retired Air Force Colonel Timothy Milbrath and his firm Noble Outreach are being investigated by the FBI for such allegations under the EB-5 immigration program, which entails luring foreign investors into committing cash to domestic job-creating projects in the United States in exchange for visas and ultimately green cards. In the case of Milbrath and Global Outreach, the project involved constructing a large hotel in New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. And under the EB-5 program, investors can receive a two-year visa upon pledging money towards a project being built in the United States. If it's a United States government certified business, and in this case, Noble Outreach, if their investments, which have to be at least $500,000, lead to a project that creates at least 10 American jobs, investors can then fast track their green card process. So despite having copious support, Noble Outreach and then New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin struck a deal to bring investments into the city. This hotel project ultimately went nowhere, and currently there is an empty lot where the hotel was allegedly supposed to be. Meanwhile, the money that was siphoned into other projects was allegedly diverted so that investors would not gain green cards, even though jobs were created. Not a single investor actually ever received a green card. Speaking with ABC, Milbrath denied that the money was used for his own gain and that everything is apparently accounted for. According to ABC, more than 30 EB-5 projects have been investigated for criminal activity. The Department of Homeland Security told the outlet that without concrete proof of wrongdoing or authority from Congress, it can't take away the firm's certification or shut the project down. So Homeland Security Jay Johnson is, he is asking lawyers for such authority right now. Good thing it could never happen here in the United States. This guy has been working for the federal government under three different administrations. That is crazy. You think this guy didn't make personal gains based on, you know, $500,000 investments from foreign investors? Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's just par for the course. Par for the course, ladies and gentlemen. That's the country we live in. Thank goodness. Happy to be a part of it all. Okay, we're getting ready to go to this quick 3-minute break. I just want to remind you again, Doreen Honus is going to be joining us in about a half an hour. Going to be a great conversation today. If you want to check out her website, it is at truthfarmer.com. One of my very favorite people on planet Earth. We've got a lot more national news to get through. We've got a little bit of economic stuff today. Greece is still toying around with the idea of leaving the Eurozone, so who knows where that is going to go, but a lot of big-time bankers here in the United States are kind of getting prepared for that. We'll talk a little bit about that. Got a little bit of science and tech stuff and a couple of important health stories I'm going to try and get to as well, so keep it right here. Appreciate you guys being here with me this morning. Always makes my Tuesday so much better having you guys along for the ride. We're going to be right back. 3-minute break. Keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Hangar 18, your TFR Roundtable.
Saturdays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with me through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys hanging out in the chat room right now. Lots of good conversations going on there right now. Truth, I think, truth be told, just mentioned something about Greece potentially moving on to monopoly money. I thought the euro was already monopoly money. Isn't that kind of the name of the game for the fiat currency system? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know what Greece is going to do. We'll have to get into that in a minute. I don't see how in the world they're going to make. I think they've got like, what, $600 or $700 billion due to the Troika here in the next couple of weeks. I don't see how that's going to possibly happen without some pretty significant changes in the global financial system. But we will see. Also, some people asking in the chat room about Rebecca Roth. If someone asked me specifically for a link, I don't know which link you guys are looking for. If you guys haven't tuned in to Kev Baker did a fantastic interview with Rebecca Roth. She has also been on our program. You can look for the archives at redpillreports.com. Just look for the name Rebecca Roth in the guest room there. And she's also been on the Joe Joseph Show, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe she was also on the Woo Crew. Rebecca Roth and her book, This Methodical Illusion, is absolutely picking up so much speed. I keep seeing pictures of her posting on Facebook surrounded by books as she autographs them as she's sending them out. I do have to tell you too, the hardback copy is coming out soon. I've already put in my request for one of those because I think it is a remarkably good book. It is a fantastic way to sneak covertly real information into people who might actually not be anticipating learning something. It's a great way to kind of sneak it in. And I've been saying for the longest time, getting the truth out in the form of pop culture is going to be the winning ticket, ladies and gentlemen. That's something that we need to all do because that's an angle that we haven't tried yet before, as far as I'm concerned. You know, putting this stuff into something that's entertaining but also informative, that's going to win. That's where the win is going to come from. So I do highly recommend you guys check out methodicalillusion.com is Rebecca Roth's site. And you can also listen to her interview at redpillreports.com and then check out some of the other interviews from all the other hosts as well because, Kevin and Marty do such a great job with their guests. I really recommend listening to that show. And then Rebecca was on the Woo Crew with us, and it was fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Truth be told, thanks, brother. 578 for the BDI today, down by 2 points. No number for the 13th, no new number today. So 578, we'll compare that when we get to the economic news with what I'm going to talk about. Let's jump back into the land of the free and the home of the brave news here real quick, just because there's a couple other things going on. One of California's largest water providers moved yesterday forward on a proposal that would reduce the amount of water it delivers to more than 24 cities and agencies, serving more than 19 million people amid this lengthening drought. A board committee of the Metropolitan Water District approved a plan yesterday that would cut regional water deliveries by 15% beginning this summer, and the full board is scheduled to vote today. Several committee members actually wanted a 20% cut, but were outvoted. And this district that we're speaking about serves parts of Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, Riverside, San Bernardino, and Ventura counties as well. So big time stuff going on in California. We've been talking quite a bit about the drought. I don't know, not good stuff. But if the cuts are approved by the full board today, they will take effect in July. And cities that need more water would have to pay a penalty up to 4 times the normal price for extra deliveries. Can you hear that large sucking sound, ladies and gentlemen? That is the sound of people leaving California. But wait a minute. A lot of people also talking, saying, okay, we got the whole Pacific Ocean thing right there. And as far as we all know, that's actually made of water. What can we do about that? Well, there's actually good news coming out of California too. Completion is near on the $1 billion Carlsbad desalination project. It's expected to supply 7 to 10% of San Diego County's drinking water by the end of this year. And a lot of North County residents, especially commuters whose routes have been disrupted by the construction, for them, the most visible part of the seawater desalination project has probably been the 10-mile pipeline being built to carry filtered water from the coastal plant east through Carlsbad and parts of Vista into San Marcos. I used to live in San Marcos. Beautiful, beautiful place. And then the treated water will flow into San Diego County Water Authority system and be blended with other treated water for distribution throughout the county. So at least they are moving forward on a, on the big $1 billion Carlsbad desalination project. Most of the pipeline is already finished except for the final piece, which is a 1,700-foot long tunnel being built in the Macario Canyon at the intersection of Canyon Road and Faraday Avenue in Carlsbad. And the tunnel should be completed by June. So hopefully by the end of the year, some of your water needs, at least 7 to 10% in San Diego County itself, will be met by this huge desalination project. So that's at least a little bit of good news. Wanted to talk a little bit too about that. We were talking about police brutality yesterday. Go figure, right? Imagine that. We talked about the, gentleman in North Carolina that was shot in the back and murdered. We had the, little release of the extra video from the dash cam on that, which kind of didn't really bolster the, police officer's case at all. We also talked a little bit about the rundown in the desert on the horse where, the best thing that happened with that story was the officer getting kicked by the horse. Love that little aspect of the story. And then, I think while I was talking about that, I had mentioned that there was another shooting in Oklahoma where a reserve deputy actually ended up shooting somebody thinking he had been holding his stun gun, actually shot this guy. And then the other officers obviously didn't care because they were kneeing on this guy's head. And, allegedly this guy had tried to sell a weapon to an undercover officer. I don't necessarily think that that is a capital offense, something that you would actually get the death penalty for. But anyway, this reserve deputy, this guy, he's 73 years old, first of all. My first question is, why is this guy running around pretending he's a police officer if he's a reserve deputy? But that question aside, the good news is that he has actually been charged now with second-degree manslaughter in this case, according to the Tulsa DA. So, you know, I don't even know what to say about this. We need less idiots running around with weapons thinking that they actually have the right to shoot people, not more of them. Why is a 73-year-old dude out running around pretending he's a police officer? I don't know. But it cost a young man his life over the weekend. And to me, you know, we need to back up. We need to back up and ask the bigger question, what is the causality of this violence that we see in our community? Not who is doing what and why are they doing it. Where does this system come from? Why is it necessary? Do we need to replace these police officers with voluntary peace officers? I think that's the best answer to the question here. Anyway, all Kev Baker's in the chat room right now. We are back at 20 in the chat room right now. Big, big numbers for us here in the morning. Appreciate you guys all being in there. Everybody say hi to Kevin. Tell you what, one of the best shows on the network, ladies and gentlemen, is the KBS show every afternoon. I'm sure you guys know that I am trying to use that as kind of my high water mark. So everything I do is trying to get to the level of Kevin Marty on the Kev Baker show. So I tell you, that's one other thing I love about this network is that everybody inspires everyone else to get better and better. And another thing I really realized this week that I love about this network is that there is a continuity of information that flows across the hosts on the network. You know, I check out Kevin's show, make sure he's not scooping me on some news or try and at least write down everything that he's talking about so I don't repeat myself on the next day. But at the same time, some of the topics that we talk about here kind of flow through some of the other hosts. We had a little discussion the other day about the pineal gland. And wouldn't you know it, Roger Sales heard that and did like a 2-day show on the pineal gland. It was incredibly interesting stuff. And that's what I like is that you can tune in the morning, get up to speed with the news, and then we get a great guest. We kind of get your brain going, and then you can just carry on listening all day. I'll tell you what, if you're interested specifically in this legal versus lawful nonsense and not just trying to figure out whether or not there is a definitive difference between them, because I can assure you that there is, but also trying to figure out how to navigate in the world that we live in, Roger Sales is going to be your go-to guy. I swear you need to listen to his show every day because the guests and the information that he has on his program will help you get out from under this whole draconian system that we're involved with. But again, you know, I'm starting to kind of, I know I'm digressing away from the news here. I apologize, but I'm starting to kind of realize that understanding the system that we live in is kind of a two-prong issue. We can definitely understand it. We can definitely identify the fact that there is a corporate structure, and we can identify all the players and figure out how to deal with it. But, you know, personally, I spent about 10 years kind of doing what Roger's doing, figuring out how to engage properly myself in this society. But in this context of Red Pill, I've really realized that, again, like every other issue, the main goal is to get macro, is to step back, okay, and say, I don't particularly want to put the effort in. I know if Roger's listening to me right now, he's going to be upset with me saying this, but I don't want to put the effort in. I don't want to put the effort in to learn how to navigate a fictional system. And I certainly don't want to spend the time to learn to navigate it just to teach you guys how to navigate it as well. When what we really should be doing is taking a step back and saying, hey, if this system exists, how do we get rid of it? Is this the system that we want? It's just like the law enforcement system in our country. If you don't step back and say, hey, we're the adults in the room, is this what we want on our streets? If that question is never asked, all we do is tinker around and say, oh, any body cameras, or, you know, we need to be more well supervised, or put a national registry list. No, none of that stuff. We don't need to put band-aids on the conditions, guys. We need to put the whole patient into triage and lop off the bits that aren't working for the rest of us. That's what we need to do. And that's kind of where I'm going with this whole legal versus lawful thing. Yes, you need to listen to Roger. You need to understand that there is remedy on an individual level. But once you understand that, we can get more people to understand that and say, you know what? We're tired of having to go through remedy. We were born into remedy. We shouldn't have to now fight for it. We should be able to destroy the system that is keeping us down. And that's where I'm going with all this stuff. But again, if you want to learn about exactly what's going on around you, Roger Sales, holy cow, what an amazing resource that we've got available to us live every day right after my show on Truth Frequency Radio. Cannot recommend that one enough for those of you guys out there interested in that. Okay. Let me hop back into the national news. I realize I wasted a lot of time, but sometimes I enjoy going on a little tirade. Washington, D.C., you guys have a problem with your police officers. There's been a report now that has come out saying that the Washington, D.C. Police Department is threatening a dog owner because this dog owner put up missing dog posters around his town, right? Which apparently is exceptionally illegal in Washington, D.C. They have a city ordinance that says you're not allowed to put up anything without first running it by the city. And every single poster, even if you're copying the same poster, all of them have to be approved by the city each individually. So they are actually threatening this guy who not only lost his dog and is going through the trauma of losing his dog, they threatened him with a fine, ladies and gentlemen, for putting up these posters. Now, I could understand a small fine. You're littering, potentially, or you're putting up posters with no intention of coming back and getting them. Yeah, sure, $50, okay, maybe. No. $750,000, $750,000, they're threatening this dog owner with. That's the fine. $750,000 threatening this dog owner for putting up missing posters in Washington, D.C. So really the moral of the story is that if you lose your dog in Washington, D.C., I hope that you can convince the police officers to allow you to search for it, because apparently that's a big no-no in Washington, D.C. It's craziness. Craziness. Also, a federal judge in Washington handed down prison terms of 30 years to life behind bars for four different Blackwater Worldwide guards who were convicted in the deadly 2007 shooting that killed 14 unarmed Iraqis and injured dozens of others in a Baghdad traffic circle. The U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth sentenced Nicholas Slotin of Sparta, Tennessee to life in prison. Slotin is the only one of the four guards who was convicted of murder in the incident, and three other guards were convicted of multiple counts of manslaughter and attempted manslaughter stemming from the September 16th, 2007 incident at Baghdad's Nusor Square. All three were sentenced Monday to 30 plus years and one day in prison. So this is one of those very tragic stories. I don't want to get into the details, but I did want to point out that all four of these guys look like space Martians. They all look like they've got some kind of cranial implants going on. I don't know if these are just really unfortunate pictures, and you guys can go to redpillreports.com and check out the news section under the guest section there and tell me what you think. But these guys all look like they're brainy, goofy, weird looking dudes. I'm just saying, if I saw some dude walking down the street with a melon like these guys, I'm going to run. I'm going to go the other way. Okay, here's some weird news. We got to get in some weird news. One of them is just strange. The other one, you can let your conspiratorial juices flow. And I highly recommend that you guys do that around here, because it's always a good time, especially early on a Tuesday, but a sleepy SeaTac airport worker who used the cargo hold of an Alaskan Airlines 737 for a nap was apparently awakened in a panic when the flight took off for Los Angeles, according to Alaskan Airlines. This flight 448 was on its way to Los Angeles, but immediately after takeoff, pilot reported hearing banging from someone underneath the plane. This is according, again, to the airline released in a statement. And the captain declared an emergency return to the airport where the Menzies Aviation ramp agent was found inside the front cargo hold. And the ramp agent appeared to be okay, but he was taken to Highline Hospital anyway just to be checked out. And the employee later told officials he had fallen asleep in the plane. And Menzies is the organization that contracts with Alaskan Airlines to provide luggage services there. So maybe that guy needs a day off. I don't know. I don't think that'd be a specific spot that I would pick to go take a nap in. Anyway, the airline said the cargo hold is pressurized and temperature controlled. And they also said they are investigating the incident. Here's something weird that is blowing up. Kevin, here's something weird that is blowing up in the alternative news stratosphere right now. And I don't know. I don't know what you guys want to think about this. But in Tulsa, Oklahoma, apparently plumbing issues have forced a Walmart at Admiral and Memorial to temporarily close, according to the Walmart representative. The problem will require extensive repairs and the store will close at 7 o'clock Monday. Now, when I first discovered this story, it was under the headline, dozens of Walmarts closing across the nation for 6 months with no indication as of yesterday. So I started looking at it and I'm finding all of these small local news outlets that are reporting that their local Walmarts are closing for 6 months due to plumbing issues. Now, I could understand one store, right? Two Texas Walmarts are also in this situation. Another store in Tampa is apparently experiencing the same fate. So you've got dozens of Walmart stores closing down for 6 months. Jade Helm, closing down for 6 months for plumbing reasons? Really? Does that seem unusual to anybody else? Jade Helm, anybody else have any ideas? I don't have any idea what this could possibly, Jade Helm, have anything to do with, but just putting it out there, are they doing some FEMA camp conversions? Oh wait, that was a conspiracy. That was my inside voice. Never mind. Okay, let's hop into the economy right now, find out what's going on. Very, very little, apparently, right now. The Dow is up, but only about 40 points, just above 18,000, and, the S&P is currently down, but just a very small amount. So we're above 2,000, still at 2,086 on the S&P. The dollar index has taken a little bit of a drop today. We are down to 98 and 80 pennies. And of course, when that one goes down, the euro usually goes up. And that's exactly what it's doing. The euro is up to 106.81. So we're moving a little bit of a step away from parity there against the euro and the dollar. Also, what else is going on? Gold down just a touch today below 1200. We're at 1196. Silver, $16.27 big pennies. Get you an ounce of silver. And for your crude oil barrel, for all of you guys out there collecting barrels of crude, you can get one today, $53.30 big pennies. If you are following the Bitcoin, it is still going down. I don't know when I'm going to hop back into the Bitcoin trade, but I am hoping that it will eventually rise up again. We are at 215 and 12. So $215, 12 big pennies will get you a bright, shiny digital Bitcoin. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, 21 in the chat right now. I love you guys being in there. That is more, I think, than we've ever had in the chat room at Truth Frequency Radio. So cool having you guys along for the ride. Probably because Mr. Kev Baker is in there. It's nice when we get royalty in the chat room in the morning. Also, lots of rumors flying around right now about Greece. I personally cannot imagine how they are ever going to make this next payment. They, right now still owe 270 million euros and that is due on the 12th of May. So just a touch under 1 month from now. They also have another 1.6 billion euros due in June. So the ramp up for, their repayment is just, the numbers are pretty staggering right now. And, I don't know. I don't know what is going on. FT came out with an article yesterday saying Greece is currently preparing to take the drastic step of declaring a debt default unless it can reach its deal with the international creditors by the end of April. So again, they're kicking the can back and forth. Truth said that he thought they were moving on to monopoly money. We had a report saying that they were potentially even toying around with the idea of going to Bitcoin. I still wonder how Russia is going to play into this, because obviously Russia stands to gain a lot most of their trade, most of Greece's exports actually went to Russia. I think it was something like 70%. So big time trade partner with Russia. Russia obviously waiting in the wings to swoop in with a little bit of loan action to help them out. Russia taking over the world, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, talking a little bit more about this Greece thing, I just want to say JP Morgan's chief executive officer, Jamie Dimon, actually said in an annual letter to shareholders that they must be also prepared for a potential Greece exit, and they are continually stress testing their company for possible repercussions resulting from such an event. So again, Jamie Dimon highlighting what he said could be the eventual positive side of a Greek departure, Jamie Dimon highlighted what he said could be the eventual positive side of a Greek departure following a period of initial turmoil. What that initial turmoil will look like when the Greece does decide to leave the euro, who really knows? It's all up in the air right now. I gotta say though, next 5 months can be pretty exciting. It's an exciting time to be alive right now. Also, economic news from China right now. China's monthly trade showed that their exports actually fell in March from a year ago. Listen to this number, by nearly 15% in terms of the U.S. dollar. That's a 15% decline in exports coming out of China month over month from last year. So China's economy only grew by 7.4% in 2014. That was its weakest from about 25 years ago. So what is going on? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Nobody has any money and nobody is buying anything, ladies and gentlemen. That's really what's going on. I don't know how to put it in more simple terms for you, but when was the last time you guys had a whole bunch of extra money? I mean, really fundamentally, especially if you're in the bottom 40% and you're spending 60% of your income on just housing and energy, not food, not any of that other stuff. I can't imagine. So I don't think anybody's buying stuff from China right now. And people are also waking up to the fact that they don't really want to be buying things from China. So there you go. Chinese government also said that Taiwan will not be a member of the new regional bank, the AIIB, but they would be welcome in the future under a different name. Taiwan, which split from China in 1949, wanted to join the bank as an independent nation, but Taiwan's government has reportedly said that it will continue to press the case for its inclusion. Basically, right now, Taiwan is considered Chinese Taipei if you ask someone from China. Again, China believes that they still own Taiwan. And so if Taiwan wanted to come back and reapply to the bank, going by the name Taipei China or a separate customs territory of Taiwan or something like that, which is kind of how they're identified at the World Trade Organization, they would be welcome to do that according to China. But China's not going to allow them to come in under the name Taiwan. So there you go. More politics going down there. Also, we had the report yesterday, hopping into the science and tech stuff, that SpaceX was scheduled to launch their Dragon capsule yesterday. They were put off by weather. So again, if you did not get a chance to watch that yesterday, they're going to try and do it again today. About a 50-50 chance of good weather today, just putting it out there, according to NASA officials. But they will try again at 4:10 Eastern Standard Time, 3:10 Pacific, and you can watch the SpaceX launch on space.com. So if you want to go this afternoon, check out space.com at 4:10 Eastern and see if they actually get this SpaceX capsule off the ground this time. We'll see what happens there. Let's talk a little bit also. Well, there's been some telecom industry did not even allow the ink to dry after the FCC new net neutrality regulations were put into the Federal Register yesterday. As soon as they were, major telecommunication companies jumped up to challenge the new federal internet service regulations in court. So again, a mere hours after the legal window opened on Monday morning, many of these companies now suing the FCC. This is going to be a long, drawn-out battle, and I don't think we're going to have any updates from this anytime soon. But again, this is probably going to be going on for a really long time. Really, it comes down to the fact that the major cable and telecom companies are not interested in having their broadband internet service reclassified as a public utility, because it then puts a lot of onus on them to do upkeep and things like that. And it's just a big debacle that's going on right now. What else should we talk about here really quickly? Let's move into some health news, because there's some pretty big health stuff, and I seem to always keep missing these health stories. This is huge. There's a huge, huge, huge story here. A class action lawsuit has now been filed by a large group of over 700 Guatemalans seeking nearly $1 billion and the plaintiffs were either directly or indirectly the victims of experiments allegedly perpetrated by the Johns Hopkins University in tandem with the Rockefeller Foundation. Surprise, surprise. So between 1945 and the early 1950s, a collection of Guatemalan sex workers, government workers, prisoners, patients, and military were infected with STDs unbeknownst to them while researchers tested which pharmaceuticals were the most effective in treating their diseases. Because of this, these test subjects unwittingly spread the venereal diseases to their spouses, family, and friends, causing injury and death in some cases. Nearly 70 years later, in 2010, the government issued a public apology since these experiments came to light, and a similar lawsuit was filed against them in 2012. Though admitted to be unethical and apologizing for the harm, the judge ruled that the disgruntled Guatemalans could not sue the U.S. for grievances that happened overseas, and that health officials in the current administration had nothing to do with the experiments personally. Both Johns Hopkins and the Rockefeller Foundation have issued separate statements regarding the new lawsuit, denying any involvement in the Guatemalan experiments. And the Johns Hopkins media statement denies any involvement or association by designing or funding the studies and suggests that the accusers are trying to make money. The Rockefeller Foundation issued a similar statement. So this Guatemalan experiment is pretty reminiscent to the Tuskegee syphilis experiments, where the U.S. Public Health Services gave black men in Alabama syphilis and then studied the effects and progression of the disease without giving them treatment or telling the truth about what they had actually done to them. So more disgusting things. Is it surprising to anybody that the Rockefellers are somehow involved with this? Not in the least. I got to tell you, Jim Ram will be on the show and we'll be talking about natural health. But one of the major detriments to health out there, ladies and gentlemen, is the American Medical Association. Also the American Dental Association. If you guys haven't spent any time trying to figure out where those groups come from, boy, I'll tell you what, that is some eye-opening stuff. And I'm sure Jim will probably mention a book called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I believe that Pharmacist Ben mentioned it when he was on the program last time. But there's another book, I think it's called The Rockefeller Doctors or something to that effect, also rated very highly on Amazon. Both books I would definitely recommend you check out if you want to understand what the business is behind keeping you sick and why it is so profitable and why most of the time these doctors are not trained in nutrition. They're not trained in anything other than pushing pills on you. That's really what it comes down to. So anyway, major, major lawsuit coming out of Guatemala. We're out of time for the day. Please go check out redpillreports.com. There is a little bit more health news that I did want to talk to you guys about. There's some increase in radon gas in Pennsylvania homes. People are trying to figure out if it is related to the fracking issue, and also H5N2, the bird flu, has now been found in the first commercial chicken's flock here in the United States. So something else to be aware of. We got to go to this break. When we come back, the one and only Doreen Ponis will be joining us. Appreciate you guys all being here this morning. Keep it right here for this 3-minute break, and we will see you on the other side. We'll be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. it is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
No hate, no hype, no fear. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Oh, that's weird.
Hello? Hello?
Oh my goodness. Was I seriously off the air that entire time? I just did the most wonderful introduction of you, Doreen. I do not have any idea why my mic was muted. This is what happens when you put a rookie behind the mic, ladies and gentlemen. My goodness. I got to start that whole thing over again. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes I get a little bit ahead of myself. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for being here. I apologize about that whole sound thing right then. Our very special guest today is one of my very favorite people, Doreen Haunis. She is an avid student of the effects of the World Trade Organizations and their agreements on the livelihoods of the American citizens. She's been doing this since NAFTA was ratified back in the mid-1990s. Her predominant area of interest has been the impact on independent agriculture and the ramifications of those agreements on food freedom and the consolidation also of access to market for independent growers. She's a full-time volunteer advocate for independent agriculture. She's been doing that since about 2005, and she's a very well-respected leader in the national movement to halt the national animal identification system. We're going to be talking about that a little bit today, mostly the consolidation of biometric identification and how that can play into our freedoms here as citizens in this crazy world that we live in. I would highly recommend everybody also check out truthfarmer.com. That is her website, and she updates it very often. Doreen, thank you very much for once again joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on here, despite the live without a net intro originally.
We'll just never speak of it again. We'll just we'll forget that just happened. But I got to say, last time you were on the show, Doreen, we had a really great conversation, and we were talking about police brutality and things like that. But I got to say, it's a good thing that all that's been cleaned up, isn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, really cleaned up, my goodness. Right. Yeah, well... You know, what's actually happening, JD, is with that particular issue, we've got a psyops being perpetrated on the police officers and quote-unquote law enforcement throughout the entire country. I mean, they're being like basically formed into the opinion of everybody's against them and everybody wants to kill them, so they have to kill them first. It's ridiculous, you know? And hopefully, I have on my plate, amongst other things, the desire to write an article about that in particular, because I think that a lot of people say there are no good cops, and I understand the reason for saying that. However, I happen to know a few who are police officers who won't do things like, you know, the safety check stops. They try to follow the Constitution, and we do unfortunately have a need for law and order because people do not police themselves, you know?
That's true.
So at any rate, I'm going to be trying to do an article about that specifically in relation to the effects of the Southern Poverty Law Center and their little brainwashing, programs for law enforcement and elected officials going on around the country. And, you know, they might very well be responsible for the deaths of people who are unarmed, who just say they're sovereign.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that, you know, we need to take a big step back. And I've said this before, and I want to get onto some different topics, but I've said this before. Yeah. We need to take a step back and look at this from a macro perspective. We're all adults in the room now. We need to say, it isn't about, you know, are these police officers doing what they're supposed to be doing, or you know, is the threat of violence, can we combat it with using body cams or anything like that? No, we need to put the entire patient into triage and just start lopping off the bits that we don't need anymore. We need to ask ourselves if we need poorly trained, well-armed idiots running around, you know, generating revenue for cities and states or corporations, because that's essentially what's going on. And, you know, I agree that there probably are good police officers out there. I think that sheriffs and peace officers, you know, I've said that many, many times, but the very day that you become a police officer in terms of a law enforcement agency and you start writing tickets, if you don't understand the connection between forcing people into contract at gunpoint and oppression, then you're not intelligent enough to be a police officer in my mind. And especially 5 months of training, you've given these guys military stuff, and then we wonder why we have a problem. You don't even have to join the military anymore to go play super military guy. You can just become a cop and have 5 months worth of training, and then you get all the same rights as anybody else who's in the military. And we need to take the whole system and turn it on its head and shake it up and down and say, this is not what we want as adults in our society, because look at the situations just over the last week, how much violence we've seen at the hands of police officers. One of which, if we hadn't even seen it on film, that guy would have gotten away with it. The guy that planted that taser next to that guy, he'd have been home free if that other dude hadn't caught him on tape. And I don't necessarily believe that law enforcement officers are going to self-police, which means I don't believe that the body cameras are really going to be that effective. So again, we need to have a bigger, broader, more adult conversation and just say, this is not what we want for our society. And anyway, until we do that, I don't think anything is going to change specifically, Doreen.
Right. Well, you know, I think the body cameras would be helpful, but just like all technology, which is actually kind of what we're going to be talking about today, technology fails, you know? And so they could very easily go, oh, well, my camera just turns itself off periodically.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we have to have is we have to have personal integrity in our dealings with each other. And until we have that, JD, we are going to have problems, you know?
I agree.
I mean, that's kind of the largest issue as I see it, is that the lack of accountability and personal integrity, it goes an awful long way. And it's very next to impossible when you get people behind titles who are acting on, you know, as agents of a corporation, for them to actually have personal accountability. So
I agree. Yeah. I'm just going to say one other thing about the body cameras thing. My only concern about that is the technology is already existed right now, that they could turn all of those basically into biometric identifiers from a distance. they could know everything about you before they even have to engage in a conversation with you. And for me, I don't want to be forced into a conversation with a police officer under any circumstances, but I also don't want them just happening to know every single thing about me, especially given, I know we're off topic here, but the Promise system, which is something that Mel and Aaron at Truth Frequent or at TruthStream Media have talked about quite a bit, but there's a national system now that identifies you under a certain threat level when they pull you over, and it does that by cultivating all the information off of like your social media site. So say it'll go to Facebook, and if you've posted things about being anti-law enforcement, you're going to get a threat assessment level of red, and the guy's going to come up with his gun already out, you know, basically shaking in his boots, wondering if you're some kind of sovereign crazy person, which I don't believe that there are very many sovereign crazy people out there. I think if you're smart enough to understand sovereignty, then you're probably more educated than most law enforcement officers. But anyways, I digress. I wonder about the slippery slope of technology, and you've got some stuff to talk about in that arena right now anyway. So do you want to just kind of pick it up right there, Doreen?
Yes, I do, but I was unfamiliar with that, so I've got more homework. Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
No problem. Scary stuff. The Promise system, yeah.
Well, this actually probably ties in, and I haven't, obviously, this is the first time I've heard of the Promise system, so I'm going to need to look into that. But what I wanted to bring into focus for people is the on-the-ground effects of all of this biometric identification and the consolidation of that biometric ID, and how that's coming to pass, and what we already have that's passed the state of Louisiana legislature to require on the sale of secondhand goods, both buying and selling secondhand goods, that all of that information be uploaded into an online database with the identification, state identification, social security number, address, location, name of any person buying or selling secondhand goods, JD.
That's insane. I mean, seriously, can you imagine? First of all, I gotta say right now, it's never gonna work. And let me tell you why I don't think it's gonna work, is because I'm looking at Arizona right now. It's a classic example. Arizona put in a whole bunch of those speed cameras, right? And they were sending out tickets left and right, and they were scheduled to make $1 billion or whatever off of the people. But they had to yank all the cameras down because people were not paying the fines, and the actual hardware that they needed to store that information, like the servers and things that they actually had to have to compile the list of the people who were not paying those bills, was so exorbitant that they couldn't afford to A, keep the servers up, and to pay people to monitor them. So to me, you know, they can legislate all this garbage into existence, but you still have to have the money and the resources to make that actually happen. Who's going to manage a database of every sale of everything that happened on Craigslist? I mean, we're talking about absolute lunacy here, Doreen.
Well, yeah, we are talking about lunacy, but what we're talking about is legalized lunacy, if you will.
Right.
And, you know, and actually this all ties into, you remember Real ID, when the United States Congress passed Real ID into law back in 2005. Okay?
Okay.
So they passed that into law, you know, to protect us from terrorism, right? Biometric identification on all driver's licenses, kind of the knockdown of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the states were supposed to comply with it. Well, about 38 states actually ended up passing legislation to, in some guise, constrain or do away with Real ID. We had a lawmaker here within the state of Missouri. His name was Jim Guest, and he got a bill through. It went all the way through in 2009, and I was involved in this because it was going on at the same time as the National Animal Identification System legislation, and got it through, prohibiting the state of Missouri from taking biometric information in the driver's licensing process.
Okay.
Okay? January of 2010, lovely Governor Nixon, state of Missouri, one of Obama's 10 loved governors, got a letter from the Department of Homeland Security congratulating him on his efforts to implement Real ID in Missouri.
Blah.
3 or 4 months after he signed the legislation prohibiting it.
Right.
Okay. So then the concealed carry permit holders, their information was all handed over to the Social Security Administration by some guy just asking for it from the SSA.
What?
So they handed over, I can't recall the exact number, JD, but somewhere around 30,000 concealed carry permit holders.
Just here in Missouri.
Right, just here in Missouri.
So that would include yours truly, just saying. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So they handed that over to the Social Security Administration. And then all of the little license bureaus, and in the state of Missouri, we do something a little bit weird. We have our driver's licenses are issued by quote unquote private companies that contract with the state to handle all the DMV stuff. Okay. So we have these things called license bureaus where you go in to get your registration and renew your license and things of that nature. Well, all of those little quote unquote private companies are contracted to do the bidding of the state, and they started having to clear out their old licensing cameras and put in new digital ones and take people's digital photographs and then have the person, instead of receive the license at the license bureau, receive it in the mail a couple of weeks later.
That's right.
Well, red flags went off, okay? So that basically proved out that this company called Morpho Trust, which I'll talk about in a little more detail later, was receiving this information from our license bureau, making biometrically identifiable driver's licenses for everyone in the state of Missouri, and then sending that driver's license to the individual in the U.S. mail. So there was a big hullabaloo because people were very upset that the state of Missouri was violating the law of the state of Missouri.
Uh-huh.
So our legislature got real upset about it, you know? And they decided they were going to fix it. And they held a special session. And to fix the problem of agents of the state violating the law of the state, they gave them permission to violate the law of the state.
Wow.
And said it was all taken care of.
Okay.
So then all of the license bureaus had to throw out their old photographic equipment and put in this new photographic equipment. And everything goes over the internet to this company called Morpho Trust, which I believe that this particular place is located in the state of Georgia. And then that gets run through a facial biometric recognition program, uploaded to Safran, which is the parent company of Morpho Trust in France. And from Safran, it goes to the IMF, the World Bank, Interpol, all of that.
Wow.
All international, biometrically identifiable, driver's licenses, where you're located, facial biometrics. Some people are saying that some of the things where they check your vision, people who were in the military and have actually had iris scans done, say that some of the machines in the larger metropolitan area for that are actually doing iris scans as well.
Wow.
Now, that I don't know about, but the knockdown on this is that we have a complete consolidation of biometric identification in all sectors of our society, and the important ones where, you know, we all have to make a living and we all have to be able to travel in order to do so, right?
That's what I hear.
Well, you know, basically the bottom line of this is it has the capacity to control pretty much the entire globe and biometrically identify everybody through this system. Now, Morpho, it's like a conglomeration. It's like trying to figure out the VA and the various bureaucracies there. There's Morpho Trust, there's Morpho Track. And then the head company, which is Safran, S-A-F-R-A-N. Now, Safran started out as an basically aeronautical engineering company, and over the course of time, it's morphed into this aeronautics company combined with all of these identifying information technologies.
Okay.
Excuse me. They have all of these international contracts, and Morpho Trust has all of these international contracts. Morpho Trust has 26 states. Morpho Track may have more than that. Morpho Track is the one that is getting paid from the state of Missouri in every county by the sheriff's department just for CCWs now, at least $3,600 per county.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, we're in the wrong business, Doreen.
Well, obviously, but, you know. So, yeah, and they've got 26 other states, and this is just for the CCW issuance. Just on CCW, not on the driver's licenses.
Wow.
And so $3,600 per county in the state of Missouri. That's at minimum. So we're talking $500,000 just for this state.
Mm-hmm. And you said they're in 26 other states as well.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And I wasn't able, you know, to get the financials for counties. Cities and counties are supposed to publish their budgets in a local newspaper so that it's readily accessible.
Public record. Well, yep.
Right. You know, and there are a lot of cities and counties within the United States. So to get a dollar amount on that is going to be incredibly difficult. But here's something that kind of points out how all of this benefits people in power, and all at the potential of destroying your own personal power. You remember Michael Chertoff?
I think so,
that name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Refresh me though, because I'm not sure if I remember exactly.
He was the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after he stepped out of that position, he created an organization called the Chertoff Group. Well, the Chertoff Group negotiated the deal between L1 Identity Solutions being bought out by Morpho Trust.
Okay.
For $1.9 billion.
Wow.
Okay, and not just that, Chertoff worked with L1 Identity Solutions prior to this deal that he brokered to establish the identification metrics for L1 Identity Solutions and this, you know, globally interfaceable integrated data on everyone in relation to real ID. So he set it up to profit from, like, obscuring the trail of L1 Identity Solutions to Morpho Trust, to Morpho Track, to Safran International, and then all of the adjunct international agreements for this global identification program.
I mean, we're talking about another example of an amazing revolving door in Washington, essentially, right?
But I mean, it is... JD, this is bigger than anything else I've ever done. It's much bigger because it involves virtually every country in the world. India, Albania, I mean, every country in the world is using this Morpho Trust interfacing, cross-applicable facial biometric system. And, you know, we've got Facebook, NSA.com, and Google, you know. I mean, the whole thing, what we're talking about is a singularity that is developing that is virtually unavoidable if you use the internet, if you go out in public, if your face gets snapped. I mean, they can use digital photographs without your permission or consent to load you into this biometric global database. And here's where it gets even more fun. The Trans-Pacific Partnership mm-hmm. that, you know, WikiLeaks has been leaking parts of. One of the requirements within what we've been able to suss out about this supposed legislation, trade agreement, it's not a free trade agreement, it's a freedom trade agreement.
Right.
Is that in order to get a computer to go online, you will need to link through via biometrics, fingerprint, or facial recognition.
That's the end of the internet, and, really.
Yeah. And it's it's the end of the internet. It's the end of the wonderful thing about the internet was that nobody could control it, right?
Yeah. Decentralized. That was the whole reason they're so adamantly against it. The decentralized information right. spread.
Right. Because knowledge is power. It literally is. And, mm-hmm. and the ability to know things, the first thing you have to do is think and then you act and you act on your thoughts. And if you're subject to propaganda from, you know, mainstream media all the time, you're going to believe it.
Well, yeah, it's not a coincidence that the six largest companies in the world are in control of 95% of the media that we see. I mean, that was probably, in my estimation, a plan, don't you think? I mean,
yeah. You know, I mean, those who want to control people want to consolidate information. They want to have all of the metadata, all the data about data. They want to integrate everything so that they have the capacity and effect to try to be godlike.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And that's the agenda, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's what we're seeing here more and more happening throughout the United States and probably around the world as well. I'm sure we've got a lot of other hosts in other countries that will say that the situation is not any better overseas at this point. We've got to go quickly to this 3-minute break. Doreen Honnes is our very special guest today. When we come back, Doreen, I do want to continue talking about this consolidation of the biometric identification system because I wanted to know, I thought I read an article recently that said that the TSA is going to start having a requirement that you absolutely have to have some sort of biometric card or your passport included in that. I don't know how it's going to work, but I definitely can feel the pinch coming down. So I definitely want to talk to you a little bit more about that as well as the TPP when we come back. So ladies and gentlemen, keep it right here at truthfrequencyradio.com and appreciate all of you guys in the chat room. It is a full crowd in there. If you guys have questions or comments for Doreen, stick them in there and I will steward them across and weave them into the tapestry of our interview today. We'll be back in 3 short minutes. Keep it right here, guys. Thanks for being here.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now, only at MUSA.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Kev Baker Show.
Monday through Friday on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. Lots of very good comments and questions appearing in the chat room right now, and I will do my best to steward those across to our very special guest today, Doreen Honest. Want to recommend you guys check out truthfarmer.com, which she keeps very well updated. Now, you're affiliated with PRC News, is that correct also, Doreen?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so yes. I definitely want to recommend people check that one out as well. Lots of good information on that website, too. Appreciate all the work that you do out there, just as a side note, Doreen. people in the chat room are kind of freaking out because you mentioned the TPP, and people are really under the impression that the reason that the TPP is being kept so secret is obviously because these people have nothing to hide. Is that the case, Doreen?
yeah, they got to keep it secret. You know, first... I mean, look, the TPP has been in process for a very long time. I don't know exactly how long. But, you know, the only things that the public has been able to see about the TPP are things that WikiLeaks has put out. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Now, you can look at it two ways. I mean, if it's got to be so secret, can it actually have any good for us in it?
I try and keep all my altruistic intentions as secret as I possibly can. I don't know about you.
That
makes the most sense to me. You know.
Well, you know, I mean, we know that all of the trade agreements. I mean, I don't care. I am not flatly isolationist, but I think that if you're going to have international trade, it needs to be mutually beneficial for both countries. You know, end of story. But that's not what we've got going on. Now, the TPP is a multilateral World Trade Organization trade agreement. All of those things are all covered by tribunal decisions if there are any conflicts between the participating countries. They are being used as a mechanism by which to bring about global standardization on all fronts. Now, that's been the case with NAFTA, CAFTA. I mean, we've got over 90 multilateral trade agreements now within the United States. But the TPP is supposed to be the biggest one, and it will be tying the United States, all of our processes for management, production of goods, provision of services, everything, every process within the production point to all of the other nations, regardless of our quote unquote sovereign structure. Now that's the thing about all of the trade agreements. And I mean, I can bust it down really quick on things that have to do with agriculture. And you can just use that as a foil for every other manufacturing process, every other production process, and even for the trade of informational, you know, information is the only item that is paid for by people that doesn't have an actual tangible aspect to it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's the way it works in agriculture. Under all of the World Trade Organization agreements, every member nation that signs onto a trade agreement agrees to abide by and implement the guidelines and standards of three international bureaucracies, those being the OIE, which is for animal health, and then Codex Alimentarius for food health, if you will, right, and then the IPPC for plant health. Now, the member nations are supposed to pass legal framework for enforcement of their guidelines and standards in compliance with those agencies' directives.
So, okay,
so
now
we
wait.
Got that.
Does that mean all of the individual countries then get to basically force their own standards on the other? Everybody has to come to their own mutually agreeable international standards that may, in fact, not align with individual sovereign nation standards? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, yeah, kind of. Okay. Every member nation has to pass legislation so they can enforce the standards of these international agencies that are designated to decide what a tomato tastes like, what animal diseases require either vaccination or stamping out procedures, what plants can be transported across boundaries, okay? That kind of thing.
So it's really now, fundamentally the further dissolvement of individual state sovereign rights and via trade, basically, is what we're skirting more individual sovereign state rights by this trade accord is what we're dealing with.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, within the United States, back in 2010, we got the lovely present from the Federal Congress of the Food Safety Modernization Act. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the death of independent agriculture, the death of you being able to decide what you want to eat. It is an absolute control mechanism.
Can you extrapolate just on that real quick? Just how is that the death of all of those things?
Because it ensconced in legal framework the requirement for quote unquote good agricultural practices, which is like having to do your taxes every day for a tomato.
Oh, okay.
And let me just give a real quick rundown on that. If you want to engage in agriculture, you need to consult with a technician, a certifying, auditing, verifying individual. They will tell you what kind of tomatoes you can grow. So then they tell you where you can plant them, how you're supposed to water them. Then you have to track who waters them, who planted them, who fertilized them, when they fertilized them, what they fertilized them with, who picked them, when they picked them, what truck they went on to, who was driving the truck, where the truck went from, and where the truck arrived to.
Wow.
And this is all supposed to be tracked for everything.
That's crazy. Katie. That's crazy.
Yes. Yes, it is crazy, but these people are crazy. And when they passed that legislation, the Food Safety Modernization Act, they gave the FDA the legal authority to enforce these international guidelines and standards.
Okay.
And that's kind of the deal with our country. We've got the federal government, and then we have state governments. And the federal government impinges upon the state sovereignty by using federal funding to make the states comply with federal agreements. Now, the federal government is wholly sold out and sworn to all of the UN World Trade Organization agreements and the enforcement thereof. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So it's trickle down tyranny. Bottom line.
I like it.
And well, I mean that's what it is, and it's global. Now, I have on my website somewhere, and I mean I can post it later, but on Truth Farmer, I've put up a few times the GAP protocol for the nation of Colombia.
The GAP? What is GAP?
Good Agricultural Practices.
Okay.
Okay. And the important thing for everybody to remember here is this foil, if you will, of the methodologies to bring about complete global control of your ability to produce whatever it is you want to produce, be it food, be it information, be it, you know, hardware for computers, be it software, whatever is covered in these trade agreements. The foil I am most familiar with is the agricultural foil. Okay. Because, you know, but you can cross-apply that. All you have to do is find out who the entities are within your specific sector of interest that control these aspects of international trade agreements. And you've got the foil. I mean, it's always trickle down, and it's all about international guidelines and standards and protocols. The ISO, which is the International Standards Organization, I thought that they just kind of figured out, you know, how many threads on a bolt there had to be, how much that bolt would need to, you know, be able to hold, how big a sheet of toilet paper was, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
But no, they now have management processes that are ISO compliant management processes. And that's part of it. If you drive through these little towns here in Missouri, you might see a sign outside the city about their little fire department is ISO blah, blah, blah compliant.
This is the same ISO organization that does that? Because
yeah.
I worked for a manufacturing company and went through the whole becoming ISO 9001
ISO
process. 9000. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now light bulbs are going off. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same. I mean, in agriculture, and I'm pulling this from back in the memory banks because really after they passed the Food Safety Modernization Act, I just said, well, we're cooked.
I mean, seriously, I got to stop you though for a second because now my brain is reeling from all of the processes and procedural changes that I had to make just to make the products that we made. And we're talking really about applying ISO standards to agriculture. That's a non-winnable scenario. There's no feasible way with what I understand about ISO that could ever possibly happen and be made to work. That's way too much. I mean, you're talking about the way that ISO works, as far as I know, is they keep track of your processes. All of your processes have to be exactly the same. So the way you handle every single individual egg would have to be the same under an ISO standard. This is just draconian to the level I've never even thought of, you know, a level of draconianness that's that big, Doreen. This is insane.
Right. Yeah. And that's the case. I mean, it is literally the recipe for global famine.
Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're familiar with it in manufacturing and you extrapolate that to agriculture, just go, wow, we're going to be hungry.
I mean, really, right? We're going to be hungry. So how do we stop this? Is there anything that we can do to make this go away?
No, I wish there were. The FDA, via a court order is forced to finish their regulations on these GAP processes by October of this year. Now, the best thing that we can do is create an alternate system. I mean, effectively, you know, if you're freedom oriented, you're aware that at the, you know, the stroke of a pen, you can be created into a criminal. So what we have to do is we have to begin to work with each other for our provision. We have to network. We have to go, okay, well, I'll grow some food. I mean, if you live in an apartment, grow some herbs on the windowsill. Grow something.
Get a straw bale, ladies and gentlemen. Holy cow, start a straw bale garden on your front porch as long as there's sun. I mean, that's what I would recommend for renters. That's what I do. I bring in the straw bale garden every year, and then I have a whole bunch of really awesome fertilizer to use the next year after it all kind of decomposes. But yeah, grow a container garden on your front porch. You can grow so much food doing that way. I'll tell you too, one of the things that I've been really tempted to do lately, I walk to the grocery store, I ride my bike to the grocery store because it's only like 6 blocks, but between myself and the store, there's a bank, and it's a really big, you know, not, I wouldn't say a corporate bank, but they're definitely like a level 2, you know, pretty big bank, and they've got this beautiful, I'm saying like half acre lot that is surrounded by parking lot. It's all grass, and they have to pay, you know, millions of dollars to keep it mowed all the time. And I want to go put just a really big sign in it and just have it ask the question, why is this not a garden? You know, especially banks and things like that, that really do nothing to produce anything for anybody. They just fleece money out of the economy. Wouldn't that be cool if they all decided to do something else in their community and gave a little bit back? And we've got all, I mean, I want to get into guerrilla gardening. I want to take over, especially if you live in a city where they've got the big planters out on the street and they grow flowers and crap like that. Plant food in those. The city's going to water it anyway, you know, put some food out there. And I agree. Let's overgrow this government. I think that's going to be the name of the game. Just opt out of the system because you decided you don't want to be involved with it anymore.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to reflect to something because it struck me so heavily. When I first got my little homestead together quite a long time ago, I had a couple of friends come out and I got the chicken eggs and I was going to make omelets, right?
Mm-hmm.
My friend says, how do you know those eggs are safe to eat?
Okay.
I was like,
because I know the
chickens. I didn't even know how to answer that.
Right. It is weird though. Some people, when they see food not in a grocery store, they don't recognize it as food. It's suspect just because it's not being sold to you by Albertsons or somebody like that, you know?
Right. You know, and this is the issue. You know, I want real food for real people for real lives.
Yes.
You know? And we are the only ones that can bring that to bear. You know, and there is no civility if there isn't enough food. I mean, we cannot be decent to each other if we don't have enough food. And, you know, the entire thing about all of these control paradigms, this Malthusian dialectic where there's not enough room for all of us, you know, we have to have, we have to kill people because we're running out of resources. Look around at the ground, at the grass. I mean, get out of the city and drive across South Dakota and tell me that we're overcrowded.
No, it's crazy. I mean, you could take, and I go back to this statistic all the time, you could take the entire global population and put them all into Texas, and yes, we would have a, you know, it would be packed in. It'd be like Manhattan. It would have a, you know, a ratio similar to Manhattan. But the rest of the world would be open. I mean, it is not a lack of food that is the problem. It is a lack of fake money to pay for it all. That's where I had an article on just the other day talking about all of the food waste globally. And it's something like $6 billion in food waste. Like something like 40% of the food never makes it to a dinner plate anywhere in the globe. You know what I mean? And that's pretty obscene to me. It's not a lack of food, it's a lack of desire to feed people that is the problem, Doreen.
Right. And the other thing is, it's all of these processes that are in position to cause that food to be thrown away. I mean, you can't feed the homeless people, for crying out loud, without going through a certified kitchen. You know, if you work at a restaurant, at the end of the shift, when that you have to dispose of that food, you can't just give it away.
That's right.
You have to lock up your dumpster so that people can't eat that food anymore.
Even if you go out and buy food with the intention of feeding other people, you're likely to get arrested. Look at that guy in Florida that tried to go out and feed the homeless people. 3 times the guy was arrested for buying food of his own money, paying the taxes on the food, making the sandwiches, his own labor, and then passing them out, arrested. It's almost like a battle against humanity is being waged, Doreen, you know?
It flatly is a battle against humanity, and it's also, you know, this process, this Malthusian thing where there just isn't enough room for all of us in whatever avenue we desire to pursue. It's not true, JD.
I agree.
And we've been regulated out of the ability to actually produce. And that is something that, you know, it comes straight from Yah. We have a desire to create things. And I mean, that can be a garden. It can be art. It can be whatever. You know, when all of these processes become so consolidated and so controlled by regulation, it is a destruction of humanity. You know, so I think our best option, like you said, you know, overgrow the government. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. And when we take that responsibility onto ourselves and we refuse to ask them for government grants or for, you know, permission to do it, when we just take back the most basic of human rights, it expands. You know, I mean, freedom is contagious.
That's right.
So if we just claim that back and just go, no, you don't have the authority, and plant in defiance. I mean, like the whole issue with genetically modified organisms, all of this stuff. Well, I think that the earth is a living organism. And while it has become polluted with these GMOs, if we can counter that by putting out more good stuff, maybe we can thwart it.
I think that's our only goal. I mean, the only hope that we've got right now, because again, unless you actually take time out to learn about this stuff, nobody's going to take you by the hand and say, hey, by the way, you're eating garbage, or hey, by the way, you're breathing garbage. You know, you have to take the initiative to learn this stuff and then realize that only through your own actions can you actually make a difference in the world. I mean, that's why I get up every day and do this, because there's too many issues to tackle by just myself. So I like to have a forum to get the information out. I feel like this is the best use of my time, but everybody's got to find their own way to get involved. And I agree, if it has to start in your own front yard, there's no better place to start, really, fundamentally. And,
right.
You know, Doreen, I had an epiphany about food the other day. I don't know if you'll agree with me, but somebody was asking me how I can tell if what I'm getting ready to eat is good food or not. So I stopped and I was thinking about it, and it came to me in a flash. I thought, if your food, flip over the box or whatever it is you're getting ready to eat, if it has an ingredients list and you look at that ingredients list and there's in fact an ingredients list, that isn't food. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the ingredients themselves are most of the time actually the food. So that's actually the way that you tell if your food that you're getting ready to eat has an ingredients list, there's a pretty good chance it's not food. Better chance that the actual ingredients are what you're looking for out there in the world, as far as I can tell. Doreen, what do you think?
Well, you know, I guess that's one way to look at it. I kind of look for unpronounceable chemicals.
Those are the best parts.
You know, the tasty bits.
Yeah.
Monosodium glutamate for all my friends.
Oh, it's so good for your brain, too, from what I understand.
If it has real ingredients in it, like, you know, wheat and salt, okay. I'll tell people, start looking at any tuna fish cans, because they're putting soy into tuna.
What?
Okay.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. We got to grow our own food. Everybody's got to get a garden together. This is just, we're at doom's, you know, level zero at this point, as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to eat anything. I go to the grocery store and I wander around and they're always like, do you need help finding anything? And I'm like, yeah, food. Is there any food in here? Do you guys have anything I can actually eat? Because it seems like you have this whole big building and you're, you know, heating it and cooling it and you don't have anything in here. And I don't really understand that. So, but anyway.
Right. And then, you know, one day, I was looking, I have a smart aleck phone, right? And this Sinomics ingredient, the crushed aborted baby kidney natural flavor enhancer.
Delicious.
I don't want to eat that, right?
No.
So I looked for a list. I'm like, list of food with Sinomics in there. And oh my goodness, I freaked out. I had to leave the store.
It's crazy.
Because I was surrounded by baby kidneys.
Oh, I'm laughing, you know, because I'm trying to remain, you know, positive and jovial about this, but it's not funny, really, fundamentally. It's not funny. We're surrounded by things that are designed to keep you unwell. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. Horror, you know, in my opinion. But at any rate, you know, this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, I want to get back to all of that if we can for a few minutes. I know we're getting close on time here, JD.
We are.
But that is going to be the mechanism to bring about all of this control of your ability to buy and sell. And I'm going to try to write an article on this issue that's really important. Now, what we were talking about at the beginning of the hour with the secondhand goods, requiring identification to buy or sell secondhand goods. The little city of Mountain View, over here in Missouri, in the Bible Belt of the Ozarks, passed an ordinance that I understand to be 10 pages long, specifically about buying and selling secondhand goods. And any business that buys or sells secondhand goods within the city of Mountain View, one, they have to have a license to be in business within that city. If they don't do the following things, they will have their license revoked by the city.
Okay.
If they take in gold or metals or tools, they have to record the driver's license, the standard identification, which is all hooked to Real ID, get the date of birth, get the address of the person who sold it to them, upload what it was they purchased into an online database, hold on to those goods for 5 days before they can sell them to anybody else.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And this is in Mountain View, Missouri, JD. I mean, it's patently unconstitutional, but here's the problem. You have these businesses, and they have to have a rate of turnaround on their stuff, right?
Right.
How are they going to stay in business and put through a lawsuit?
Well, they couldn't possibly. Yeah, they couldn't possibly.
And wait out that time that it takes to go through a lawsuit. Meanwhile, they have to, you know, effectively violate the rights of their customers, and their customers just aren't going to do it for the most part. So it's going to drive people out of business.
Or it's going to ramp up the black market in a really big way.
Well, yeah. And the other thing that really bothers me about this is, you know, first of all, I think that we can categorically state that if you have a database and it's housed online, it is not secure.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, so now this is going to be required to be uploaded into a database that's accessible by the police and the city council. Now, you're going to know, one, who bought and sold gold.
That's right. This is slippery slope.
Where that's located.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's an invitation to, you know, to tyrannical behavior.
It absolutely is. I'm with you on the concern about that. I would not want my individual purchases of anything ended up in a database that was accessible to anybody from the NSA to the GCHQ to some neighborhood kid who wants to get in. Doreen, we are out of time. Thank you very much for joining us and all this incredible insight that you brought for us today.
Okay, thank you, JD. Take care.
You do the same, Doreen. Thank you again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the show. I apologize. I missed a couple of questions from the chat room. I will find out the answers, and I will get back to you guys. Join us tomorrow. Jim Ram will be here. We're going to be talking about natural health, which is, again, something I think everybody needs to get on top of right now, just like growing your own food and just like getting some precious metal and hedging your bets against a dollar collapse. We will be back tomorrow. We'll see you guys then.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.